I recruit the very best BDC team members for your dealership with my proprietary recruiting system that outperforms anything else out there and provide the very best training for them. Then I lead by example and I show them how to do the job. I help your managers better manage their department by holding your BDC accountable by the hour so that you can expect 4 to 8 appointments per day minimally from each of your BDC reps. If your BDC reps are not setting 4 to 8 solid appointments per day minimally, if your BDC agents aren't each setting appointments that translate into 1 to 2 deliveries a day minimally from their efforts, if your BDC doesn't use a live turn process, if you don't hold your BDC reps accountable by the hour with my proprietary Go Green accountability system, you're leaving massive opportunities on the table. We need to talk. Call me, BDC Colin, 708-733-5463, 708-REDLINE. All right, welcome back to another short and sweet training session. Today's lesson, part one, is on appointment-driven communications, the talk tracks, the words, the discipline, the how, the why, and the what that you need to say in order to truly drive an appointment culture in your dealership. Now, there's a lot of keys to an appointment-driven culture, but the one I want you to think about first is think about the dentist. What if I had a dentist appointment today, say at around 9:15? About 10 o'clock or 10:15, I'd probably come from the back where I was getting my teeth cleaned. I'd go to the receptionist and she'd hand me a card. It looks like a business card, right? And she'd say, hey, Colin, how does July 19th work? And I'd say, July 19th looks great. She'd say, how about 9:15? I'd pick up my iPhone or whatever, and I'd look at my calendar, and I'd say 9:15 is great. And then she'd write down 9:15, July 19th on that card. I'd take that card home. And when I got there, I'd put it into my calendar. And even though I travel a lot, I do a lot of training, there's a 90% chance that I'm going to keep that appointment. There's a 90% chance that I'm going to keep an appointment for, say, a $30 teeth cleaning 6 months from now. I'm going to block out my schedule. I'm going to protect that day. I'm not going to let anything into my schedule that would keep me from keeping that dentist appointment 6 months from now. And I said a 90% chance, but you know what? There's a 100% chance that if I need to change that appointment, I'll call them as soon as I know in order to change it. Now, there's two reasons for that. One, I've committed to that appointment, right? I've given them my word. And two, and obviously this is something that we can't do in the car business, it's $30 to go and if I get my teeth cleaned, right? But it's $45 if I miss that appointment and don't call them in advance. So I'm going to keep that appointment 90% of the time because it's a hassle to change it. But if I have to change it, I'm going to let them know right away. So when you think you have an appointment culture, ask yourself if people would keep their appointments with you the same way they would at their dentist. If the answer is, well, no, people sometimes come in 2 hours late for their appointment or they come in, an hour early, then you don't have an appointment culture. Think about that. Think about the dentist office. What if I rolled in 2 hours late on July 19th? What if I came in at 11:15? What would they say to me? They'd say, Colin, come back another day. What about this? When she hands me that card, right? And she says, how July 19th worked. And I said, it works great. And she said, how's 9:15? And I say, 9:15? I don't know about the morning. How late do you open? And she says something like, well, we're open till 4:30. What if I come back at her the same way that your customers do with you? And I said, well, I'll see you before 4:30. She'd say, get a new dentist, right? They don't work that way. Dentists have an appointment culture, and you should have an appointment culture too. Think about this. You're selling a $30,000 or $45,000 car, and you don't think people will keep an appointment for 6 hours from now, yet those same people will keep an appointment for 6 months from now for a $30 teeth cleaning. It's because the dentist has an appointment culture, and you don't. Obviously, the opportunity for appointments is great. Your closing percentage is 4 times better. Most people who schedule appointments in the car business are closing from beginning to end within 90 minutes of the time they come in. Compare that with the 3 or 4, sometimes 5 or 6 hours that some deals take at the dealership. It's just not a good experience for the customer. So the question is, it's got to be, Colin, I'm all in. How do I get appointments? We'll talk about that more in part two. All right, welcome back to Appointment-Driven Communications. This is part two. We left part one with the question, how do you get appointments, right? Colin, I'm bought in. I need to get appointments. So the problem is, even if I talk to somebody on the phone prior to them visiting the dealership, if they do not have an appointment, they are a traditional up. If I'm an average dealer, I'm closing my traditional ups at 9 to 20%. I need to set an appointment and I need to ask for that appointment. And the goal is an appointment that shows, oh, and by the way, that happens on the phone, right? That's how you set appointments. This is what it looks like to be working in an appointment culture. It happens on the phone. You cannot set appointments via email. You cannot set appointments via letters. You cannot set appointments via sitting outside at the Old Point. And by the way, please save your emails to me. Please save your DMs to me. I don't want to hear about the one time that you set an appointment with a guy that lived 150 miles away. He'd only communicate with you via emails. He went back and forth. He showed up, for his appointment, and you did the perfect appointment. You closed him on first pencil. You made 10K on the front or 12K on the front. I don't want to hear about that. That's an exception. I don't live in the exception world. I live in what's called the rule world. All right. The rule says that you set appointments on the phone. That's working in an appointment culture. Typing on your computer is not an appointment culture. That doesn't work, all right? You set appointments on the phone. Remember, I have to ask for the appointment, right? I have to say something like, I've got two test drives open on that Camry tonight. I've got a 515 and a 545. Which of those works better for you? See, that's how you ask for the appointment. Now, I hate phone training. I really do. And even though this is a phone training class that I'm doing here for you, I hate phone training. And the reason I hate phone training is this. If it's good phone training class, and most of them are, you're going to leave psyched, all right? You're going to watch, you're going to listen, you're going to be like, hell yeah, I'm all in, right? And then you're going to go get back to your desk or back, in your BDC. And you're never going to change a thing, right? You'll get hit with an objection that we didn't discuss today or that you didn't practice for, and you're going to fall back right into your old, habits and your old ways of doing things, and you're not going to sell many cars. You're going to be an 8 or 12 car a month car guy or BDC rep instead of being a 30 car a month, car guy or girl or BDC rep. Those are the people who set appointments, right? They know how to set appointments and they follow the talk track. More than anything else, they remember the goal. And that's what I want you to remember for today, the goal. In fact, do yourself a favor, pause the podcast right now if you're listening and write down the goal on a piece of paper and put that paper in front of your phone where you can see it every time that you're on the phone. I want you to know what the goal of every single call is. I want you to know that the goal of every single call, every time that you reach voicemail. I want you to remember the goal so that you can stay on track with the three things that I'm going to teach you to do today, right? I'm going to teach you what to say. I'm going to teach you how to say it. More importantly, I'm going to teach you why you're going to say the things that you're going to say so that we can truly drive an appointment culture within our dealership. All right, so part three, appointments have got to be the goal. They've got to be the goal with every call you make, every email you send out, every time you leave a voicemail. In your mind, you've got to remember the goal, and so I want you to always start with the goal in mind. And one of the ways that we do that is to treat every incoming lead and every incoming call like it's an order. So anytime somebody inquires about a specific vehicle, we need to treat it as if they've just ordered that vehicle. Somebody calls about a 2023 Camry that we've got, guess what? They just did. They just ordered that car. Somebody submits a lead on a brand new Honda Accord that we've got. Guess what they just did? They just ordered it. And that's the way that we need to treat everything. If we treat it like an order, we're much more likely to get an appointment. If we get that appointment, remember, we're four times more likely to sell the car. Now, this is where it becomes critical. We need to treat every lead and every call we get as if they just ordered that vehicle. And we need to remember one thing. When we're talking to somebody on the phone, we can only sell the other guy's car on the phone. Case in point, if we give too much information about a vehicle, if we just babble on and on about how great this car is or how great the Accord compares to the Camry, whatever, right? Once we give all the information about a vehicle, the fact is that they do not need to come see our vehicle. We've probably painted such a good picture of that vehicle, they can now take that picture and go look at comparable miles and maybe even if only in their mind, save themselves a little bit of money, right? So we've got to be careful. We've got to create a sense of urgency, a sense of excitement around the vehicle that we have, but we can't give out every last piece of information. One other reason, by the way, that it's important is stats show that people do about 20 hours of research online before they ever step foot in a car dealership or before they ever call you or send an email lead. So they've probably done plenty of research. Our job is not information. Our job is to get an appointment that shows. So if we have to talk, we're going to ask for an appointment the right way every time. We need to remember that there's an inverse relationship between the information that's given and appointments shown. The more information that we give to somebody, the less likely they are to show for that appointment. So we get a call from somebody, right? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about a concept called burying the dead, right? You need to remember to bury the dead, all right? Now, this is not for your day one BDC reps, okay? but there is a concept called burying the dead, and you guys need to know about it. Now, I'm going to give you a quick lesson on what burying the dead looks like and what it sounds like. This is how you bury the dead. You get a call from a guy, and he wants an out-the-door price on a mid-level Camry Accord or whatever it is that you sell, a brand new mid-level, and he lives about 150 miles away. He swears to you. He says, hey, Colin, if you give me the very best price, I'm going to drop everything. I'm going to drive all the way across the country. I'm going to come buy this car from you right now. The fact of the matter is we know he's not going to do that, and that person is doing they're using us as an anchor price so they can leverage their local dealership, right? They're just shopping around getting the very best price that they can. And I don't fault them for that. What they're going to do is they're going to take your price, print it out. If you send it to them by email, they're going to write it down. If you give it to them over the phone, they're going to take it to your out-the-door numbers to their dealership. They're going to walk there and they're going to buy that car there. Their dealer may or may not come close to it. It doesn't really matter, but we've got to bury the dead, and here's how we bury that dead. We call their bluff. So we get a call from somebody, right? They want us to build out-the-door numbers. They want payments. They want interest rates. They want to know how much we'll give them on their trade on a mid-level Camry that we've got on our lot, and if we'll give them the lowest price. I swear I'm going to drop everything and come drive, see you guys. You know, here's how we bury the bluff. Here's how we call their bluff. We say, hey, listen, Bob, I've got a deal for you. How about this? You're not going to buy that car for me, right? No, Colin, I swear. No, Bob, that's okay. Listen, I don't mind. You're going to use my price and you're going to beat down your local dealer. And if they come close, you're going to buy it there. But here, listen, I've got an offer for you, and this is a good offer. This is the way that you can guarantee the very lowest price, Bob. And this is how it works. You get your very best written offer from your local dealer and you call me. You call me back with their best written offer and you make an appointment with me. You show up for that appointment with their written offer. If we can't meet it or beat it with their best written offer, Bob, we're going to fill up your tank with gas and we're going to give you a $100 gift card to the Olive Garden or whatever. How does that sound to you, Bob? And what can he say? You just called his bluff. We're basically offering him $150, $50 to fill his tank and a $100 gift card to the Olive Garden if we can't meet or beat the best written offer that he gets locally, right? The fact of the matter is that we're not going to sell Bob anyway. If we give Bob out-the-door numbers, I guarantee you we're not going to sell him. But let's say on the off chance that we give him out-the-door numbers, that we've billed out the payment, that we tell him that his car is worth, we're the lowest price, and he keeps his word and actually does come see us. Well, a couple of things happen there. It usually takes about 2 hours or so to build a true good out-the-door numbers because we've got to go back and forth with Bob to have him fill out a credit application. We've got to give that to the F&I department. They've got to run the credit. They've got to talk to some banks. They've got to make sure that they got him bought. And then, you know, we got to figure out if he's got a trade. We've got to, you know, get him to take 30 to 40 pictures of the vehicle, send them to us so we can give him a good offer, a good solid offer for that trade. Now, there's trade tools, obviously, that he can probably use online to get an estimate. But to build out those numbers, we're going to have to do a lot of work. We're going to have to do a lot of work, and we're not going to make any money on the deal. See, the only way that we're going to be the very best price is if the deal's a mini, or worse, if we're losing money on the deal, right? So let's say on the off chance that Bob does come buy a car from us, that we don't want that deal. We don't want it at all. Two reasons. One, he doesn't live in our market. So if we're the very lowest price on that deal or on that car and we're not going to make any money on the deal and he's not going to service with us because he doesn't live in our market, why make the deal? We'll never see him again. The second reason, and sometimes we forget about this one, what that guy that needs out-the-door numbers, whether he lives in your market or 150 miles away, what that guy, that price buyer who's absolutely must have the lowest price that you don't, that doesn't care about service, doesn't care about anything else, what does he do to you on CSI? He crushes you. It's a mini deal. So you're going to make almost no commission. The dealership is going to make no money and they're not going to have him for service. And finally, he's going to crush you on CSI. Why do you want the deal? Bury the dead. Now, I want to caution you. Like I said to you before, this is not for everybody. And this is not for a day one BDC rep. Everybody calls you from 150 miles away, 200 miles away isn't bury the dead. We don't need to bury everybody, right? We don't need to create graveyards. But let's say we've got a minivan, all right? A five-year-old minivan on our lot. It only has 10,000 miles on it. We're going to get calls from a local church or somebody 200 miles away or 500 miles away who wants that vehicle because they do need a used, you know, low mileage minivan for their church, at their school, their club, their family, whatever. We're going to build out the door numbers on that van. And here's the reason. It's a unique vehicle and we're going to make all the money. See, in that mid-level Camry or Accord that Bob called about, we're not making any money on the deal and he's not going to service with us. He's just going to crush us on CSI. If you have a unique vehicle, be prepared to build out the door numbers. But if you don't, your vehicles aren't unique, be prepared to bury the dead because you'll sell more cars that way. All right, welcome back to Appointment-Driven Communications Part 4. In this part, we're going to teach you how to handle the inbound call in an appointment culture. Remember, when you pick up the phone and you're talking to somebody about a vehicle, you have one goal. What's that goal again? That's right. You've only got one goal, and that appointment, that goal is an appointment that shows. Your goal is not an appointment. What's the goal is an appointment that shows. Our goal is not to get off the phone quickly. When we ask for the appointment, we need to make sure it's a firm appointment. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to ask for the appointment. Now, we usually get two or three types of calls on vehicles, say from cars.com, Auto Trader, or maybe even our own website that are going to close today, right? And there's three types of calls, really. There's a stock check, there's a price check, or an equipment check, right? Is it in stock? What's your best price? Does it have a third row? A stock check, a price check, or equipment check, right? Now, I'm going to first show you how most dealers who do a decent job handle this call. They actually, this is actually the wrong way to handle this call because their goal is information. Our goal is to get an appointment that shows. So here's how they handle the call. Hi, I'm calling with, Thomas Motors. How can I help you today? I'm calling about, 2023 Camry that you've got on autotrader.com. The blue one, is that still in stock? And here's what your team says right now. You know, when I saw that Camry this morning, but there was a young couple looking at it last night. Now, they may have put a deposit on it, and I'm not sure. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go outside, put my hands on the vehicle, and make sure it's still here. Then I want to talk to the sales manager and make sure that it's still available for sale. So if you do me a favor, if you'd give me your name and phone number, I'll go outside and make sure it's still here, and I'll call you right back. See, the goal there was information. It's not your salespeople's fault. It's the manager's fault, right? Managers were saying, you've got to get the name and you've got to get the phone number of everybody that calls. And the only way that we can do that is to tell them we're going to go outside. We're going to put our hands on the vehicle to make sure it's still in stock. We're going to go and talk to the sales manager to see what the best price is that we can do. We're going to go out to the vehicle and verify that it has third row seats. Can I get your name and number so I can call you back? The problem with that, of having a goal of information, is that this is what happens 5 minutes later when you do call them back. Hey, Mr. Jones or Ms. Jones, this is Colin Thomas with Thomas Motors. Yeah, that blue Camry is still in stock and available for sale. Please give me a call right away so we can schedule an appointment. Thanks, talk to you later. Bye. Click, right? That's it. You didn't get to talk to her or him. You didn't get to set an appointment because you got them the information that they wanted. See, they see your number calling back and they know why you're calling, right? They asked you a question. Is it in stock? They know what you're going to say and they're afraid that you're going to sell them, right? So that's why they let it to go to voicemail. The other reason is that it may have gone to voicemail because she's calling four other dealers when she's, waiting for you to call her back, right? And she may be looking at other Camrys in the market, right? I mean, wow. I mean, gosh, they might actually be looking at other vehicles. So you don't want them to end up on the phone with another salesperson or BDC rep that's a little bit more competent in setting appointments that show, right? No. So here's how we're going to handle those inbound calls from today moving forward, because now we have a goal. The goal is an appointment that shows. It's not information. So here's how the call should go. It should go like this. Hi, this is Colin with Thomas Motors. How can I help you? Yeah, I'm calling about that 2023 Camry. It's blue. I saw it on Auto Traders. It's still in stock. And we're going to create the same sense of urgency that we did before. Yes, ma'am, I did see that vehicle this morning. However, there was a young couple looking at it last night. Now, they may have put a deposit on it. I'm not sure. That's creating the sense of urgency like we just did on the last call. But here's where we start to change. I do, however, have two test drives open on that vehicle today. I've got a 1215 and a 1245. Which one works better for you? See, what I'm going to do is, wait, Colin, how can you set an appointment? You don't have her information, right? All right. You're asking how we can set that appointment, but we don't have their information. That's right. Guess what they're going to give me freely once we set the appointment? They're going to give me their name and their number. They're going to give me their phone number. They're going to give me the email address. They're going to give me their children's name and date of birth if I ask, because now we have a relationship. Now I've set an appointment. See, I haven't tried selling them anything. I've said, yes, I saw that blue Camry this morning, but I do know there was a young couple looking at it last night. They might have put a deposit on it, but by the way, we don't want to lie. So the sense of urgency that we're going to create should be something as simple as that, right? Yeah, I saw that Camry this morning, and although I know the price that we have it at, it's probably not going to make it through the weekend. I do have two test drives open this afternoon on that Camry. I've got a 1215 and a 1245. Which one works better for you? All she asked is if it was in stock. I said it was in stock. I created a sense of urgency, and then I set the appointment. Now, once I set that appointment, guess what? I can ask for that person's information. Okay, we're going to see you at 12:15. Can I get your name? All right, Barbara Jones, fantastic. Could I also get your phone number in case anything happens to that Camry? I want to be able to give you a call. All right, fantastic. Now listen, I'll send you some additional pictures and information about that Camry so I can get your email address. So what we're going to do is we're going to get their information. We're going to promise to get, you know, them some information. And this is critical. We're going to keep our promises, right? So here's how we're going to promise to get her information. We're going to recap the appointment that we just set. Remember, our goal is an appointment that shows, not just setting an appointment. Our goal is to not get off the phone quickly. See, once the appointment sets for 12:15 and we have her name and her phone number, your team wants to do this. Okay, I'll see you at 12:15. Bye. Click. They want to hang up the phone right away. They're afraid that they'll cancel the appointment if we say anything else. They're not. They just set the appointment. We've created a sense of urgency. We set the appointment. We got their information and they're showing up. Now what we're going to do is we're going to recap the appointment. We're going to recap because we're going to promise to get her some information. Okay, Mr. Jones or Ms. Jones, we're going to see you today at 12:15 to test drive that 2023 Camry that we have on Auto Trader. Mr. or Ms. Jones, we're going to get that Camry cleaned, gassed, and parked out in front. So when you arrive for your test drive, you're going to be in and out and on your test drive in under 5 minutes. Mr. or Ms. Jones, if anything happens to us or that Camry, if for some reason, you know, that Camry is no longer for sale, I'm going to give you a call right away and let you know because I don't want you to waste a trip here. Okay. Now, Mr. Jones, all I ask from you is that you show us the same courtesy. So can I count on you to be here at that 12:15 appointment? Awesome. So when I say, can I count on you today for 12:15? When they answer yes, do you know what my show rate is? My show rate is 80% without even doing an appointment confirmation. Just because I did that recap and because I said, can I count on you for today at 12:15? I've just guaranteed myself an 80% show rate if they say yes to that. Now, remember, I promised to get them some information. So let's say we go to the desk and we ask for the keys or we go to give keys for the vehicle and they're not there. We saw the Camry this morning, but guess what? Somebody bought it this morning and there was a deposit put on it last night and it sold. We saw it, but somebody already bought it, right? We promised her information and we're going to keep our promise. We're going to call her back and tell her that the Camry is no longer for sale. We're not going to keep our fingers crossed and fight that battle when she gets here. Here's the reason, and I know your managers say just get them in sometimes, and that's wrong because the world's changed, folks. The world has changed, and we have this thing called the internet. We have things called Yelp and Google. When people will flame us online on those things, right? And worse, if we tell something that's in stock and we set an appointment for it and they show up and it's not there, they're going to go buy from somebody else. We're not going to get their business. There's a 90% chance that they'll be so mad that they'll go online and crush us, or worse, they'll call the state and accuse us of bait and switch. So the fact of the matter is it's not bait and switch. The car was sold, so let's call her right away. If the vehicle's sold, let's find two alternate vehicles that are fairly close in price and body style to the vehicle of interest, right? The same color would be great. And we're going to call her back. We're going to say something like, hey, Mr. Jones, hey, Ms. Jones, I apologize, that Camry was already spoken for. Somebody did put a deposit on it last night. However, I do have two other 2023 Camrys in stock right now. Both of them are at or below the price of the other one. What I'd like to do is get those both cleaned, gassed up, you know, parked right up front and ready to go so that when you get in, you can test drive one or both of them right away. And, you know, so can I count on you at seeing you at 12:15? We're going to call her back because if she needed that blue Camry, she needed the blue color and she needed that specific Camry, whatever, and she says no, she's not going to show up at 12:15, and that's okay. We weren't going to sell her anyway, but if she says yes, I'll still keep my 12:15, our closing ratio is going to be 80%. Now she's going to look at two vehicles, and it's going to be a choice of A or B that she's got to pick one of them, and we're going to close at 80%. So I'm going to get an 80% show. I'm going to close at 80%. That means I'm going to sell 64 cars to every 100 people who call me and I set appointments with, and that's important. That's why we treat the inbound call the way we do. That's why the goal is not information. The goal is what? An appointment that shows. Okay, so welcome back to Appointment-Driven Communications Part 5. Remember, we're talking about the goal. Every time we're on the phone with somebody, we have a goal. And what's that? It's an appointment that shows. Now, let's talk about the outbound call. Let's say you're an internet salesperson or a BDC agent, and you're calling Barbara Jones about a 2023 Camry, and she inquired about it, and you happen to reach her on the phone, right? This is how I'm going to start. Hey, Ms. Jones, this is Colin with Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time? Now, let's stop there because I want to be clear here. Your team doesn't want to say that. You do not want to say that. You want to say, hey, Mr. Jones, hey, Ms. Jones, this is Colin with Thomas Motors, Thomas family owned, operated, and you know, whatever for 182 years, home of the lifetime oil change. I'm calling you about your inquiry on the 2023 Toyota Camry. Is now a good time? Terrible. So you want to do your value proposition. You want to tell her why you're calling and you want to ask her if it's a good time, not a bad time, because you don't like to say the word bad. you don't want to say the word bad. Sometimes you even start the call with, "Hey, Mr. Jones, this is Colin with Thomas Motors. How about those Cowboys, or how about the weather that we've been having?" So you try to build rapport, and that's not our goal. I've gotten into arguments with BDC reps that have been trained poorly about the goal of a phone call being about building rapport. Your job is not to build rapport. You do not get paid for building rapport. You can create all of the rapport you want, but it's not going to get you paid. It's not going to make your BDC department successful. It's not our goal. What's our goal when we get somebody on the phone? It's an appointment that shows. My goal is going to be an appointment that shows. And by the way, that's better for the customer too. And here's the deal. I'm going to be efficient. I'm going to be quick. I'm going to value their time, because I'm going to say, "Hey, Ms. Jones, this is Colin Thomas calling from Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time? I don't have time to say why I'm calling." She knows why I'm calling. I don't have to say I'm calling you about your internet inquiry on the 2014 Toyota Camry. She knows why I'm calling. She's done 19 hours of research. She's the one who submitted the lead, and she saw the Thomas Motors on her caller ID. I might not even have to say that, but I will. "Hey, Ms. Jones, calling with Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time?" No matter what she says, I'm going to say, "Great, I understand. Listen, I'm just calling to schedule your priority test drive on that 2023 Camry. Now, I've got two priority test drives this evening. I've got a 515 and a 545. Which one works better for you?" Then I'm going to shut up and I'm going to wait. And I have one goal when I get them on the phone. It's an appointment that shows. What if I had said, "Hey, Ms. Jones, this is Colin Thomas calling with Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time?" And then she says, "Well, I'm just about to go into surgery." What are you going to say? First off, she's not about to go into surgery. She saw your call. She wants to get you off the phone. Let's not even use that one. Let's use something that's more realistic. All right. "Hey, Ms. Jones, this is Colin Thomas calling from Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time?" "Yeah, I'm about to head into a meeting." Typical, right? And if she really is about to walk into a meeting, she probably doesn't have very much time to talk at all, but she did answer the phone. Now, this is what your team does. "Oh, I'm sorry to bother you. Is there a better day or time to call you back? I just want to talk about the 2023 Camry." And she says, "Sure. Why don't you call me back next Tuesday at this time?" "Okay, I'm going to call you back next Tuesday at 10:15 at the same number." And she says, "Yes, at the same number." And we say, "Great. We'll talk to you next Tuesday at 10:15 at the same number. Sorry to interrupt your meeting and have a great day. Goodbye." And we hang up the phone. What did I get? I got more information, right? I got a day and time to call her back. I got an appointment to try to get an appointment. What's the goal? My goal is to get an appointment that shows. Here's the worst part about that call. I never had a chance to set myself apart from the other salespeople out there or the other BDC reps out there. She fears sales pressure, right? And if she's a typical customer, she's afraid of the fact that I'm going to try to sell her something on the phone. I never got a chance to say, "Hey, I'm just calling to schedule your priority test drive. I've got two of those test drives open today. I've actually got a 515 and a 545. Which one works better for you?" So instead, this is how I'm going to handle that call. "Hi, Ms. Jones. This is Colin Thomas calling from Thomas Motors. Did I catch you at a bad time?" "Yeah, I'm about to head into a meeting." "Great. I understand. Listen, I'm just calling to schedule your priority test drive on that 2023 Camry. I've got two of those test drives open today. One at 515 and one at 545. Which one works better for you?" And that's it. "Colin, she said she didn't have any time. She's going in a meeting." That's right. What did I just do? I saved her a ton of time. I saved her a ton of time because I did two things. I didn't go into a long spiel about, "Oh, I'm sorry to bother you. When's a better day and time to call you back?" Because if I go through all of those talking points, "When can I call you back?" "Okay, at the same number." "Great. Have a great day." That takes longer than what I just did. What I was able to do by saying I was calling to schedule her priority test drive, that I was able to set myself apart. I'm not a typical salesperson. I'm not a typical BDC rep. I'm just calling to schedule your priority test drive. If time was truly of essence to Ms. Jones, I saved her time. I saved her time by getting right to the point. And that's how Ms. Jones wants to be sold. That's how internet shoppers want to be sold. That's how consumers want to be sold today, right? Anybody who inquires about a vehicle or calls you about a vehicle really only wants one thing, and it's not information. They want you to pull them through the phone, drop them in your dealership, and sell them a car. They just don't want you to hurt them this time. They want you to make it easy. They don't want you to build a relationship with them, right? They do not want to build rapport with you. Most people are like, more people are really like millennials than you think, and this is how you sell to millennials. And on the phone, we only have one goal. It's an appointment that shows. All right, so when we tell somebody that we have two test drives open today, one at 5:15 and one at 5:45, we ask them which one works better for them. And it may shock you that people will actually say, "Oh, 5:15 works great." They don't always do that, though. A lot of the time they want information, and sometimes they just say no. I need to understand why they can't come in for their priority test drive, right? They inquired about our vehicle, right? So certainly they need a test drive. And if they say no, I just need to understand why. I can't overcome no, but I need to know why. So next, I need to learn to say it would be irresponsible for a dealer to give you that information over the phone. For example, on trade value, right? We can estimate trade value. We certainly can. There's lots of tools out there that can do that, and there's lots of dealers that might do that. But remember, the average consumer has done about 20 hours of research on Google, on the internet, and Google actually says they've visited 18.2 sources of information. So they probably know about what their vehicle is worth. If they say, I'm not coming in until you give me an exact number on what you're going to give me for my 2008 Ford Taurus, and we give them a number, they won't need to come in. In fact, the only number we could give them would be a lowball number because we can't guarantee the value of the vehicle, even if we use a tool like Auto Trade or, whatever, Trade-In Marketplace or whatever we use, right? The value is a lowball, and the value is most often an insult to the customer. So what I need to do is stop giving information, because that's not our goal. Our goal is to get an appointment that shows. So let's agree that it's irresponsible to give trade value over the phone, and we need to tell the customer that. I'm not coming in until you tell me what my 2008 Ford Taurus is worth. To counter that, we need to create some excitement, right? Oh my gosh, Ms. Jones, I didn't know you had a trade. You've got a 2008 Ford Taurus? That's great. We can't get those at auction. I'll tell you what, generally we're paying above book value. However, it would be irresponsible for a dealer to give you that information over the phone. Only a trained appraiser knows what your Taurus is worth. Now, I do have two appointments open with my appraiser today. I've got one at 5:15 and one at 5:45. Which one works better for you? See, I'm going to overcome her objection in a way that frames up the next step, which is to schedule the appointment. I'm going to have discipline. You have to have discipline to come back to, I have two test drives open on that Camry today. I have two appointments open with my appraiser today. How about this one? Because you're going to hear it. I'm not coming in until you tell me what my interest rate is going to be. I'm an 800. Okay, listen, when they say they're an 800, we know they're referring to their credit score, but actually only people who shout out that 800, the only people that really shout out that they have an 800, they're 645s, right? Anyway, let's do this. Let's agree that it's irresponsible to give out an interest rate over the phone, because it is. We don't know who we're talking to. We don't know if they really have an 800 or if they've agreed to giving us all their information, say filling out a credit app, and then they want to call and get that information again. So we don't know if we're talking to that person. We can't share that information with people over the phone. So the best thing for us to do is we need to say, listen, Ms. Jones, if you're an 800, you already know that you're going to qualify for the very, very best interest rate that's out there. You'll get the lowest rate. And I can tell you this, we work with 27 banks and credit unions. We're going to get you the lowest rate that you qualify for. However, it would be irresponsible for any dealer to give you that information over the phone. Now, I do have two test drives open today with my business office, and my business manager would be happy to give you that information. I've got a 515 and a 545. Which one works better for you? See, there's at least three pieces of information that would be irresponsible for a dealer to give information over the phone. There really are, and that's the trade value, because you can only lowball. There's the interest rate, because we don't know who we're talking to. And finally, it's the payment. We don't know all the particulars. We don't know if they're trading, what it's worth. We don't know how much money they're going to put down. We don't have any idea what their interest rate is going to be, because we don't know who we're talking to. So let's remember that it would be irresponsible for a dealer to give out that information over the phone, and let's frame up the next steps. Let's frame up that objection that takes them to the next step. However, I have two of those appointments open today. All right, welcome back to part 7. Let's do a quick role play. And I don't mean a real role play, but you should be role playing all the time. In fact, the only way to get these talk tracks down is the only way that you're going to get the discipline that you need to drive an appointment culture for yourself is to do role plays. So let's start. Let's say that we're making an orphan owner marketing call. This is somebody who bought from us, but their salesperson no longer works for us, or they bought somewhere else, but they service with us. So let's say we're a Toyota dealership and we're making the call to try to buy back that customer's Tundra. Hey, Mr. Jones, Colin Thomas here, calling with Thomas Motors. This may sound weird, but we actually have a buyer and an immediate need for a Tundra configured like yours. Now, I don't know if you'd consider selling us yours, but I'd like to give you a written appraisal on that Tundra. I don't care if you buy anything from me or not. I just really need your Tundra. Now, I've got two open appointments today with my appraiser. I've got one at 5:15 and one at 5:45. Would either of those work for you? Then we're going to shut up. Now, there are times that this owner is going to be like, yeah, I've kind of been thinking about selling. Yeah, I can be in at 5:15. So can you give me a written appraisal? So you can give me a written appraisal, right? That's going to happen. But most often they want more information. We're going to get questions like, how much are you going to give me, right? They want to know, how much are you going to give me for my Tundra? Well, Mr. Jones, I can tell you that only a trained appraiser knows what your Tundra is worth, and it would be irresponsible for a dealer to give you that information over the phone. I can tell you that we're often paying above book value for well-maintained Tundras. I've got two appraisals open today with my appraiser. I've got a 515 and a 545. Which one works better for you? Every objection that they have, every question they have, I'm going to frame the next step. I'm going to have the discipline to come back the right way every time and say, I've got two of those open today, right? Here's the one thing that's going to catch on those owner marketing calls. You're calling somebody to buy their Tundra, let's say, and they're going to say this. Well, yeah, I'd like to sell my Tundra, but what am I supposed to drive home, right? Just like a fish, they're going to look at you and they're going to, you know, fall right into sales, and you're going to fall right into salesman mode, right? You're going to stop. You got to stop that. You can't say, oh my gosh, look, we've got all these deals on Toyota and, you know, we can probably keep you at the same payment on a brand new Tundra or whatever. You can't do that. You've got to stop doing that. We don't want to talk about that. What we can say is this: well, Mr. Jones, you're going to be shocked at the values that we've got going on right now and the great offers we have for Toyota. However, I do have a buyer and an immediate need for your Tundra. Now, I have two appraisals open today. I still have that 515 and the 545. Which one works better for you? See, we're coming right back to that. You can talk about and we'll have you test drive something while you're here, but we don't want to try to sell the car, because all you can do is sell the other guy's car on the phone. Let's remember that our goal is an appointment that shows. So we have him on the phone. Yes, he's interested in a brand new Tundra. That's great. We'll deal with that when we get here. We'll have something for him to test drive, a similar color perhaps, right? Maybe a little nicer. We're going to say, Mr. Jones, it's only going to take about 45 minutes to do a proper appraisal on your vehicle. And while we're doing that, I'd like to get the keys, to this brand new Tundra, whatever model, year this is, and just let you take it out on the test drive, right? So we can inject that, you know, we can inject you with new model fever at this point, at that point. We can inject that customer with, you know, new car fever at that point. But when they're there, you'll get things like this: what about my payments? Well, Mr. Jones, often people stay at the same payment. However, it would be irresponsible for a dealership to give you that information over the phone. I do have two appointments open in my business office today. I still have that 515 and the 545. Those coincide actually with the appointments I have with my appraiser. Which one of those works better for you? Here's another one that you're going to get. And this one you'll have to really have discipline for. I can be in tonight. What time do you close, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier, I think, in part one. Now your team says this: we close at 9 o'clock, and they wait. They've just given control of the call over to the caller. The goal is not information. It's not to get information. It's not to give information. Your goal is an appointment that shows. So when somebody says, what time do you close? This is our answer every time. Well, Mr. Jones, we close at 9, but our last appraisal tonight is at 7:15. Now I have a 6:45 and a 7:15. Which one of those works better for you? And the reason that we say that is that we don't want Mr. Jones rolling in at 8:45. We're not going to sell him a car. We're not going to be able to properly appraise his trade. Plus, we want to get out of here at 9 o'clock, right? Let me tell you about my dentist's office, right? Remember the dentist's office from part one? When they say they close at 4:30, make no mistake, they're turning the key at 4:29 every single day. Your dealership should close at 9 p.m. on weekends if you close at 9. You need to be turning the key every day at 8:59. You really do, and you're not going to sell any more cars being there till 11 p.m. every night. You're going to wear your team out. You're going to do poorly on the deals you do close after 9. You're going to make lower grosses. Most often, you're going to get bad CSI. And if you think you're doing a customer a favor by doing that when they feel like this is really, you know, this thing is really dragging out and thinking, oh my God, it's 10:30 and I'm still at a damn car dealership, you're not doing them any favor by doing that. So we're going to do the customer a favor, and we're going to do your team a favor, and we're especially going to do you a favor. We're not going to set any appointments for later than an hour and maybe 45 minutes before the close of the dealership. So what time do you close, Mr. Jones? We close at 9 o'clock tonight, but my last appraisal is at 7:15. I do have a 6:45 and one at 7:15. Which one of those works better for you? Okay, now here's the final talk track that we're going to give you when we're making those owner marketing calls. Let's say today's Monday, right? You get a hold of Mr. Jones and you tell him that you want to buy his Tundra. You get him excited. He's interested. And he says, well, I could be there on Saturday. What time do you open? Right now, this is what your team says. We open at 9 o'clock. You can't do that. Today's Monday. Saturday's 5 days away from today. We can't let that person sit for 5 days with new car fever. What's going to happen on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? He's going to shop. But you know where he's not going to shop? He's not going to shop with us because he's going to see us on Saturday. So if you say we open at 9 o'clock, I've got a 9:15 and a 9:45. Which one of those works better for you? And he schedules 9:15. Guess what he's going to do between now and 9:15 on Saturday? He shops. He shops around. You know what's going to happen? He's going to run into another salesperson or another BDC rep. He's going to run into a salesperson or a BDC rep that's going to buy his Tundra and sell him something else. It's not going to be with you because he doesn't need to shop with you. He's going to see you on Saturday, right? So what you've got to do is you've got to have the discipline to understand what my goal is. My goal is to set an appointment that shows he's not going to show. All of your appointments have to be set for today or tomorrow, especially if they're owner marketing appointments. We just told somebody, I've got a buyer and an immediate need for your Tundra. And by the way, we do have a buyer. It's our used car manager. We have an immediate need because we always have a need for great, well-maintained used vehicles, right? So I have a buyer and an immediate need for your Tundra. I just told him that. He's interested, but he says he can't be here till Sunday or Saturday. I'm sorry. I need to say, hey, Mr. Jones, that's okay. Listen, I've got five other Tundra owners on my list to call tonight. If I can't get one of them to sell me their Tundra today or tomorrow, I'll go ahead and call you on Friday and we'll schedule that appointment on Saturday. How's that sound? More than half of the time, we will find that customer will find the time to come in tonight or tomorrow, right? They'll say something like, well, I can come in tomorrow. And we're going to say, great, I've got two appointments tomorrow morning. I've got a 9:15 or a 9:45. Which one of those works better for you? And then we're going to go ahead and set that appointment. Remember, our goal is an appointment that shows. Now, suppose he works out of town. Let's say he's out of town and he truly can't come in until Saturday. That's okay. We've tamped down, you know, the new car fever on Monday. We can put a note in the CRM. If he calls our bluff and he says, well, I really can't come until Saturday. Go ahead and call me Friday if you still have a need. Great. We'll put a note in the CRM for 4:35 o'clock on Friday night. And when that note pops up, we're going to make that call. Hey, you know, Mr. Jones, Colin Thomas here calling from Thomas Motors. Great news. I still have a buyer and an immediate need for your Tundra. I have two appraisals open for tomorrow morning. I have a 9:15 and a 9:45. Which one works better for you? Then we're going to set the appointment that shows. Remember, when we get them on the phone, we have one goal and it's an appointment that shows. All right, appointment-driven communications part 8. As you might remember earlier in training, I talked about how today I'm going to tell you what to say, how to say it, but more importantly, why we say the things that we're going to say to drive appointments and why it's important that we even have to have appointments and why we need to say things in a certain way, why we have to use talk tracks and specifically the way that we're going to do it. And this is why, or I should say the why is easy, right? 80% is four times better than 20%. See, if I can get an appointment that shows, I'm going to be doing what I call the perfect appointment. I'm going to close 4 out of 5 people who show, and I'm going to close them in an hour and a half, 90 minutes in and out. I'm going to get higher CSI. I'm going to get higher grosses. If I'm just going to live off ups, traditional ups, and I'm really good at it, I'm only going to close 1 out of 5 of those traditional ups. And the ones that I close are going to take, you know, 3-4 hours. Most of those deals are going to be minis. I'm not going to make a lot of money, and the CSI is going to be questionable at best. See, the 80% is four times better than the 20. And that's the real why I need to use the talk tracks. This is the way I need to set appointments that I need to do the perfect appointment for, right? By the way, customers don't know that you have an appointment culture unless you tell them. See, back in the 70s when we went into the dentist's office, my mom didn't make appointments. She just threw me and my three sisters in the car and said, hey, we're going to the dentist. We showed up at the dentist and waited in the waiting room until they were ready to see us. But at some point, probably back in the late 70s, dentists got smart and they said, you know what? If I make people set appointments, we can plan our day, and businesses became predictable and we made more money. And that's what they do. They, by setting appointments, they make more money, and so can you. You can make your business predictable and you can make more money because it's more efficient by giving better service. And if you'll live off of appointments, but people don't know you work off of appointments unless you tell them. People will do what you command. Remember, people only want one thing. They want you to sell them a car. They're confused on how the process works. They want you to sell them a car. They want you to pull them through the phone. They want you to pull them through the computer, and they want you to drop them into the dealership and sell them a car. They just don't want you to hurt them this time. You're the expert. You're in control. Unless you let go of that control. Unless you control, you give control back to the caller by saying something stupid like, when would you like to come in? See, you're in control unless you lack discipline and you start answering questions. Remember, your goal is not information. Your goal is an appointment that shows. Your goal is certainly not to give information. You don't get paid for giving information. You get paid for appointments that show and buy. So you're in control unless you lack that discipline. And finally, you're in control unless you're happy at closing 20%, right? You're in control unless you lack that discipline. And finally, you're in control unless you're happy at closing 20%. If you're happy at closing 20%, turn off this training right now. Don't waste your time. So there's a lot of WIFM, right? What's in it for me? WIIFM in doing appointments. And this is the biggest why for you. It's the WIFM. This is what's in it for me. Colin, all right? For starters, you get a balanced day. You get a balanced week. You get a balanced month. You know how many cars you're going to sell based on the activities that you're going to do. Wouldn't it be great to turn the key on the car tonight as you're leaving the dealership and know that you have 3 appointments scheduled for tomorrow and that you know based off the confirmations that you made and the strong appointment setting that you do that you have a great chance of all 3 of those appointments showing up, right? And you know based on your closing percentages that you're going to sell 2 or maybe even 3 of those folks. Wouldn't it be great going home tonight knowing that you had 2 or 3 deals for tomorrow? See, that's a balanced day, a balanced week, a balanced month, and it's all math at that point, right? Another WIFM for you is that you get a higher percentage of closing customers, right? We already talked about the 80% versus the 20%, how the shortens, you know, but how about that shortened sales process? That's the real WIFM for you. That's the real benefit for your appointments. Instead of spending 2 or 3, 4 hours on a car deal that you're spending more like 90 minutes. And then the people are actually buying at a higher rate. So it's a shortened sales process. We talked about higher CSI. We talked about higher grosses, but they truly are higher grosses, both front and back when you have appointments that show on time and you can conduct the perfect appointment. And finally, you got more sold units. You can't sell 30, 35 cars a month without appointments. You just can't do it. Simply hitting the up bus every day because some days the up bus doesn't show up and some days you close 9 to 20%. Now, here's the biggest why for your WIFM. Let's do some math. If my next 100 prospects are traditional ups, right? I'm going to close how many? I'm going to close 9 to 20, right? How about this one? My next 100 prospects are traditional ups, but I have an average competitor who sets appointments with those first, with those, you know, 100, first 100. How many am I going to sell now? All right, let's do the math. So if 100 people that I talked to on the phone but didn't make an appointment with, and I just said, you know, be sure to ask for me, right? So they're going to be traditional ups when they show up, if they show up. My average competitor sets 100 appointments with those same people, and they sold, what, 50 of those cars? They're going to close 50% of that show rate if they're average. So my next 100 ups turn out to be 50 that show, and I'm going to sell 4.5 to 10 of them, 9 to 20%. The math doesn't change just because they've shown up at another dealership first. I've got to get ahead of them, right? How about this? Let's do some more math. Let's say that my next 100 prospects are traditional ups, but I've got a great competitor, one following the perfect appointment process, one who sets appointments with these folks first, right? And so I start with 100 people that I've talked to that I've told, be sure to ask for me. I'll think, you know, I'll get 100 people asking for me, but I've got a great competitor who sets appointments with all 100 that they do the perfect appointment for, meaning they close at 80%. This means they're going to sell 80 of the 100 people before they ever get a chance to see me. That leaves me 20 people. 20 people are going to walk into my door and they're going to be traditional ups. And if I'm a great dealer, if I'm going to close them at 20% of my traditional ups, that's 4 deals. That means one out of the next 100 prospects I talk to, I'm going to sell cars. That's the math. And that's why you need to have an appointment culture. So let's do this. Let's say the next 100 people that I talk to, I set appointments with, and we do the perfect appointment. How many am I going to sell now? How many of that 100 am I going to sell? That's right. I'm going to sell 80. And that's huge. Why? It's just math. It's simple. All right, welcome back to Appointment-Driven Communications, part 9. So we talked about the why, and the why is simple. Why do you need an appointment culture? Why you need to use the talk tracks? Why you need to have the discipline? There's a lot of whys, and the whys are simple. Well, guess what? The what is simple too. What do we need to say in an appointment culture? What are the talk tracks? It's simple. When would you like to come in, right? No, you're right. You caught me, all right? It's not when would you like to come in. So say this with me. I would never say, when would you like to come in? Say it out loud. I would never say, when would you like to come in? Because my time is valuable. Say that out loud. Say, I would never say, when would you like to come in? Because my time is valuable. I would never say that. My time is important. When would you like to come in? Because it doesn't matter when they arrive. It doesn't matter when they come in. And I would never say, when would you like to come in? Because I want to sell a car. See, when I say, when would you like to come in, I lose control of the call, all right? I tell them that I'm not important, that we are not busy, that they can come in anytime. And the problem is, when they do come in anytime and they're just a traditional up, I'm only going to close them 20% of the time. See, appointments are better experiences for the customer. They really are. And appointments are more efficient for the customer, and they're a more efficient experience for us too, right? Appointments are our best shot at a true VIP experience. It's the only way that we can give someone a true VIP experience is when we expect them and they show up as expected. We cannot do a perfect appointment for somebody who's a traditional up. And they're a traditional up if they arrive, you know, 2 hours earlier or 1 hour late for their appointment because we're just not ready for them. We can't do a VIP experience for them unless they show up for their appointment. The goal is what drives our what. We're going to say, all right, the only goal of our emails and our voicemails is to drive a phone call, and that's our only goal. So that's going to drive what we say in an email, what we say in a voicemail. The only goal of a phone call is to drive an appointment that shows, all right? That's our only goal. So when we're on the phone talking to somebody and we've got them on the phone, whether we called them or they called us, we only have one goal, and that's an appointment that shows. That's going to drive what we say, right? That's going to drive the what. And the only goal of the appointment is to increase our chances of selling the car. That's the goal, right? That's going to drive the goal. But all of these have to be quality activities. All right, so we're at part 10. All of our what must be quality, right? All of our emails and all of our voicemails have to be quality activities because we need to understand the what. What is the goal of the email? It's to drive a phone call. What's the goal of the voicemail? It's to drive a phone call. The activities that we do, the emails and the voicemails that we send out, they have to be high quality. So let's start with your emails. Why don't we remove all of the pictures, all the beautiful headers that we put on our emails in automotive? Our goal is not to show a terrific store. Our goal is not to make the email look like an advertising piece. Our goal in our emails is to drive a phone call. So let's do text-based emails that look something like, you know, a typed up, something that you typed up this morning, right? Now, most of our emails, like 90% or even 95% of the emails that go out should be automated. They should still look personal, but they should be automated. You shouldn't be typing all those emails. Remember, we talked about what working looks like in an appointment culture, and that's being on the phone. It's not typing. So let's remove the pictures. Let's make it look like a text-based email. Now let's remove the links. Why do you have to link your inventory in an email response to somebody inquiring about a new car? Remember what we talked about. We're going to treat each lead like an order. If somebody truly ordered, say, a brand new Tundra, would you send them links to your inventory? No, why would you? They've ordered the car. Now we just need to find out when they can come in and pick it up. So let's remove those links to our inventory, all right? We're going to treat every single lead like it's an order. Every email lead that comes in, we're going to treat it like an order. We're just going to send them information, a little information about that vehicle, but we're going to try to get them on the phone. That's the goal of the appointment, to remove. So let's remove the link to our inventory, all right? What about the link to our specials page, all right? A lot of you have links to our specials page and the emails you send out to people who inquire about a specific vehicle, and that's absolutely crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Again, the customer inquired about a specific vehicle, and now we're going to show them something cheaper? They asked about one vehicle. Our goal isn't to confuse them. Only about 31% of people who go online to look at cars ever get to the dealer's website, right? So most people who submit leads probably haven't been to your website yet. Sending them a link to your specials page just takes them off the vehicle they were on. Let's say I inquire about a five-year-old Nissan, right, that you have in stock, and part of your email back to me says, hey, be sure to check out our specials. Maybe I saw your car on Auto Trader, and I didn't even know that you have those other specials. Then I clicked on your specials, and I see, wow, look at that, a Ford Fusion. It looks pretty cool. And look at this Honda CR-V, and oh my gosh, maybe I should research those models as well. So you've made me car drunk. You've got me confused because you sent me links to your inventory. You've sent me links to your specials, and none of those make sense to me because I ordered a car, right? keep me on track, right? Keep yourself on track. Remember, the goal of your email is to drive a phone call. How about the links to parts and service pages, right? That's probably almost more crazy than any of the links to your specials pages. Some of you have them in your emails, and I inquire about a car. I've never done business with you. Why would you send me a link to your parts and service page? It doesn't make any sense. How about your hours and your directions? You guys either put links to your hours and directions, or you'll actually put hours and directions in your emails. Well, you know, I hear, well, people want to know how late we're open. No, they don't. They need you to set an appointment. They need you to call them. If you give them all the information that they need, for example, your hours, they don't need to call you. So I send them an email back. It's got my hours in it, or it has linked to, you know, my hours or directions in it, so they can just show up at my dealership. And you're saying, wait, isn't that what we want? Shouldn't we do that? No, it's not what we want to do, because we can only close about 20% of those traditional ups. Once someone's connected with me, I only have one goal. The goal of that email is to drive a phone call. Once I get them on the phone, I have one goal. What is it? It's to get an appointment that shows. I can't have them be a traditional up, because I can only close 20% of them. And it's also better for them. It's better for the customer if they'll make an appointment with us. We close them in 90 minutes. They'll be in our dealership for 90 minutes instead of 4 hours. They're going to get a VIP treatment. Fact of the matter is, appointments are better for everybody. We need to reduce the length of emails. For most dealers, they're just too damn long, right? You're writing school books and talking about stuff that's not important. You're building your value proposition. You're trying to build rapport in emails. You need to stop it, all right? We need to get right to the point, and we need to just simply make the phone call, right? We need a single call to action in an email that, you know, and that single call to action is always call me and here's my number. It's not call or reply to this email. It's not call, reply to this email, or stop by and say hi. We don't need them to stop by and say hi. We don't want them to stop by and say hi, because if they stop by and say hi, then we're going to close them at 20%. Finally, you should have the ability within any CRM tool to automate in automotive today. You need to be able to measure, and you need to be able to delete non-performing emails. And how can you perform if your email, how can you tell if your emails aren't performing? Well, that's what's the goal of the email, right? It's to drive a phone call. So if I have a 10-day email in my internet sales process and I start to measure and realize no one's ever called me from that 10-day email, guess what? That's a non-performing email. The email has one goal, and that's to drive a phone call. That's how we're going to get rid of non-performing emails. But if you're not tracking your emails with trackable numbers based on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're never going to know that. I recruit the very best BDC team members for your dealership with my proprietary recruiting system that outperforms anything else out there. And I provide the very best training for them. Then I lead by example, and I show them how to do the job. I help your managers better manage their department by holding your BDC accountable by the hour, so that you can expect 4 to 8 solid appointments per day minimally from each of your BDC reps. If your BDC reps aren't setting 4 to 8 solid appointments per day minimally, if your BDC agents aren't each setting appointments that translate into 1 to 2 deliveries a day minimally from their efforts, if your BDC doesn't use a live turn process, if you don't hold your BDC reps accountable by the hour with my Go Green accountability system, you're leaving massive opportunities on the table. You and I need to talk. 708 RED LINE, 708-733-5463.